Hey, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred, where four siblings were raised by working freelance authors. And when you have a big family with two parents who are full-time writers, the craft of writing basically becomes a family business. We grew up talking about the art of storytelling, and now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Brendan, and I don't think any glass slipper will ever fit my foot.
I'm Kat, and I'm woefully unprepared for tonight, just like Cinderella was for the ball.
I'm Pippin, and I think my life could use a fairy godmother.
Aww.
Ain't that the truth?
I'm Alex, and I could use a fairy godmother for this cold.
Aww.
Ooh.
Aww.
Aha.
Alex has a cold.
So, in case our little one-liner intros didn't give it away, today we're talking about the classic fairy tale Cinderella. So, spoilers abound for a 400-year-old story.
Older, really.
Much older.
If you want specific content warnings, check out the show notes on nostoryissacred.com. For those of you who need reminding of what Cinderella is, or don't know what its history is, here's Wikipedia's summary. Cinderella, or The Little Glass Slipper, is a folktale embodying a myth element of unjust oppression and triumphant reward. Thousands of variants are known throughout the world. The title character is a young woman living in unfortunate circumstances that are suddenly changed to remarkable fortune. Although the story's title and main character names change in different languages, in English language folklore, Cinderella is the archetypal name. The word Cinderella has, by analogy, come to mean one whose attributes were unrecognized, or one who unexpectedly achieves recognition or success after a period of obscurity and neglect.
Aww.
The still popular story of Cinderella continues to influence pop culture internationally, lending plot elements, allusions, and tropes to a wide variety of media. And then Disney uses it, so yeah.
Hey, they're contributing to the full process as well.
Thank you, Alex. That is correct. I appreciate that, correct, you stood up there. Also, I'd like to point out specifically to both myself and to you, Pip, we cannot sing any songs from Cinderella.
Here's the thing, the bigger danger is Into the Woods.
Oh. Oh, guys, Cinderella. Fairy tales in general, how awesome are they?
They're the best. Around.
They're a classic.
No one's ever going to keep them down.
Pip.
What? What were we just trying to avoid?
I did not sing it, so I followed the rules.
Oh, honey. So fairy tales. The cool thing about fairy tales. Let's, for just a second, talk about, Alex brought it up first, the folk process. The nice thing about the folk process is that there's no way for any of us to say, oh, golly, this is the very first one, or this is the official one. This is the real one. No. Different cultures through time, different variants. There's something called like the cat bride. That's one of them.
Didn't these all start off as like the oral tradition, just stories told around a campfire because people were bored as hell back then?
Uh-huh.
Literacy wasn't exactly high, so writing it down didn't really, you know, make sense.
Exactly.
So it passed from person to person.
I'm just imagining a bunch of like ancient bros telling the story of Cinderella at like a beer-filled campfire night.
So no shit, there I was, bro.
And this fucking girl, she put on that glass slipper. What the shit, bro?
Oh my god.
Well, that's my story.
I was doing a little reading up on this because I'm a nerd, and I read somebody's shut up. I read somebody's argument that Odysseus is an early Cinderella story.
Ooh. I believe it.
Yeah.
Odysseus is one of my favorite stories. I listened to to an audiobook of that for like a lot longer than I should probably care to admit.
Did it take as long as it took Odysseus to get back to Greece?
Ooh.
Yes. It was an unabridged version, so yeah.
Fair enough.
And I think like, you know, it was like the Odds Bodkin version. It was really cool.
Yeah, but yeah, it makes sense. It has, you know, disguises,
mm-hmm,
and proving your identity through a very arbitrary system.
Being stuck in poverty when, you know, you should not be.
Wait a second. Is Athena a fairy godmother?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the argument.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love it.
Dude, now I'm imagining the Disney movie with, you know, Athena instead of lovely old woman as as the fairy godmother. It's like, here's your broadsword, Cinderella.
Oh my god, I would love that.
I actually was listening literally about 40 minutes ago to a podcast that was talking about the story of Perseus, where Athena does pop down and is like, okay, so you're going to be given some stuff to defeat something. Here's a shield. Here's Hermes' shoes. I'm just going to give you a bunch of stuff. Good luck. Get him, tiger.
I love that because Athena is a god who you can trust to give you a sword.
True.
Whereas some other gods who shall remain Norse. if they give you a sword, then you're going to die because it's going to break. And it's going to be heroic and you'll go to Valhalla and that's their idea of a happy ending. But still.
Good job, bro.
Bro. I like you so much you're going to die.
No. That sword will work very, very well until the one time it shouldn't.
Or should it? That's the point.
Basically, during the big dramatic wide zoom shot with the lightning going down dramatically behind you, you're about to stab down, it breaks.
Oh, so exactly what happened in Wonder Woman?
What?
Yeah, snap. But she was the true weapon all along.
Yeah. Because that's a good way to kind of twist around that, you know, God Slayer weapon stuff. So that was cool.
Yeah.
You still get to...
I like that.
You still get to kill the...
If Odin had given her the sword, she would have died.
Odin's a dick. All the Norse gods are dicks.
Although you still will get to kill the thing while you're doing it.
Yeah, it's just you die while doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Very Klingon. Today is a good day to die.
And inexplicably, that guy with the double flaming guitar from Mad Max is playing in the background while you do it, because that seems very Norse.
I agree.
But anyway, I think we're way off in somewhere in left field.
My point is, you name a classic fairy tale heroine, and I see someone who needs a sword.
Yeah. Well, so Pip, I mean, you mentioned giving a sword. Let's get right into things that we'd either change or use in Cinderella here to make it interesting, make it our own, because I think that's kind of the good way to approach this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, maybe talking a little bit about why it's been so popular, but maybe I'll say that for me. Never mind.
Yeah.
Do your
well,
shit.
It's been around for hundreds of years, thousands of years, a really long time, to put it mildly.
Since time immemorial.
So, Pip, you mentioned giving Cinderella a sword. That seems like you have an idea there.
Well, gosh. that makes it seem like I had, like, something planned, which I very much did not. I just think that, you know, she has some cute shoes, she's got a nice dress, she's probably got her makeup done, hair in a nice updo to keep it out of her face, so when she has the sword that goes with her outfit, she can, you know, take revenge on those who wrong her.
I'm sorry, I'm flashing to Wonder Woman again.
I know, listen. Yeah. Listen, it's not my fault that Wonder Woman's amazing.
It was a good flick, one of the best of the year, really.
You can get a doll of her in that dress with the sword, like in the toy store for little girls. It's amazing.
Nice.
I may or may not have put her shield and her sword and the diadem on my wish list on Amazon.
Aww.
Nerd.
Because anyway. I'm a goddamn adult.
Here's your ball pit to prove it.
Yeah. But yeah, so...
So you're giving her a sword.
I'm giving her a sword because everyone needs a sword in their lives. She can name it Fairy Godmother.
Nice. Athena. She could name it Athena. I'd really go full circle on that one.
Well, Athena gives her the sword and she names it Fairy Godmother.
There you go.
Nice.
You know, maybe the kingdom's at war.
Ooh.
And her stepfamily are being cowards about it. They want to run and hide and not really contribute anything. You know, they're the ones who keep saying they'll do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they keep saying, oh, I'll donate to the charities, and then they never do, even.
Because they're douchebags. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, she sees a cause, and she's going to go for it, just like her mother, the war hero, did.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hmm.
who herself died valiantly in battle. And so she goes and she fights and she earns the respect of the prince.
Wait a second. Is this Mulan?
It might have turned into Mulan, but I would have to point out how Shang is a general. And in my version, Cinderella does not have to hide her identity. She might hide that the fact that she is the child of a war hero.
It does kind of remind me of that awkward Kristen Stewart movie, the Snow White reimagined one.
So
you have to work hard to make sure that it doesn't fall into like some of the same traps. Although I think just actually writing her well will probably help with that.
It's amazing how much good writing will help something.
What?
Wait, are we certain there isn't already a gritty Cinderella being made right now?
Guys, I am. I guarantee that this already exists. But that's half the point here. Is it yours, Pip? Is the one that you are thinking of right now, does that exist? No, because you haven't fucking written it. Hey, guess what, Pip?
Also, wait, I've changed my mind about something. She doesn't earn the respect of the prince. She earns the respect of the princess.
100% more gay.
Everything should be.
So here's a question I have for you, Pip.
Yeah.
Why does Athena grant her the sword and such?
Because Athena was the patron goddess of her mother. And Athena is kind to her followers. And she sees the strength in Cinderella, whose name will be changed, but I don't know what to. Sees her strength and sees that her faith has stayed strong, even in horrible circumstances of her stepfamily, who perhaps themselves do not worship the gods. Again, lip service, but not actual. It's all used incense.
They stole incense from the offering brazier.
It's second burned incense.
Yeah, it is. She's just pretty great. And Athena can see great things in her.
Quick question. There's the issue of Athena is a goddess of wisdom. What about Artemis?
Ooh.
Because Artemis, she's a huntress. I mean, like,
you could have both involved. You can have Athena grant a sword and have Artemis grant a bow and arrow. And then you're fully kitted out for war.
Actually, you might as well go for that trio, Hestia. Because you know what Cinderella is most known for?
Oh, shit.
Oh, snap. Because Hestia was a goddess of the hearth and home.
Yep.
Hearths, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Cinderella traditionally is associated with being covered in ashes with cinders.
Because she has to sleep by the fire downstairs in order to stay warm enough, not in the cozy bed.
So here's how this could potentially work. I mean, maybe it was like, you know, Hestia arm nudging Athena there. You know, I can just imagine the goddesses talking here like they do. And it's like, oh, hey, take a look at this devout follower of yours. She's been sleeping by the hearth this entire time. You know, something like that. You know, that's like the action that really kind of gets Artemis involved. And it's like, wait, this is a shitty thing for a devotee of mine to have to go through. Hey, Hesta, let's work together.
I'm thinking, right? Cinderella and the princess, one of them is their patron is Athena, and one of them is their patron is Diana. And I might be mixing Greek and Roman names, but
you are.
Whatever. Artemis.
Diana's Roman.
Yeah. Those are also both virgin goddesses, and I've decided that our characters are also ace. And that's also why they work together.
So, okay, what's the main conflict for yours, Pip? Like, who are you fighting with the sword and bow and a nice vest from Hestia?
Besides the patriarchy.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Patriarchy, that's just a theme. Or symbolism. You gotta have an actual thing.
And it still has to tie in with the evil stepmother.
Oh.
Well, it doesn't have to, but
It's the classic kingdom next door with whom the stepfamily has actually been double dealing.
Oh, dealing in secret.
Dun-dun-dun. her stepfamily is also treasonous.
Very nice.
Oh, so do you get like this kind of Game of Thrones moment where like Cinderella there carries out the execution that the princess orders at the end of the story? It's like, no, it's my duty.
I wasn't thinking that, but I am all for
And she lets the other two live, but she makes sure to cut the heels.
Oh.
Oh, wait, what's her identifying? What's the arbitrary identification thing?
Oh, gosh.
What's an arbitrary? What?
The glass slipper.
Oh.
It's the thing that identifies Cinderella as Cinderella when she's being looked for.
And like the shooting of the arrow through the axe handles for
Odysseus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've seen, sometimes it can be a ring. Sometimes it's other things. I don't know.
Yeah, but what's your character?
Maybe it's the sword.
Ooh.
The grip?
The grip.
Or the balance or something.
The grip, the balance, maybe if it was a gift from Athena, then it has something unique about it. And possibly something transformational so no one else can do it.
Sword in the stone? What?
Classic.
Mm. That is classic.
Maybe it matches a similar God-given gift that the princess has.
Or something, yeah.
I'm sorry, can I just sidestep here? Dudes, King Arthur fits in this as well.
Well, yeah.
You know, he was he had his true birth hidden, and then he had a secret thing that revealed him, and then everybody was looking for him, and then Merlin, the end.
Mm-hmm. And then some watery tart decides a system of governance.
And then, hundreds of years later, an 8-year-old girl finds a sword in the lake, and now she's prime minister.
I read about her.
I love her. She's amazing.
Anyway, so we have the special sword from Athena serving as the glass slipper, which I guess makes sense.
Sure, why not? Yeah. The nice thing about fairy tales is that you can not conglomerate. What am I thinking of? Congeal?
Mix and match as you...
Yeah, yeah.
Conflate?
Conflate, thank you. You can conflate stuff. I mean, it's... Mm-hmm. Case in point, the fact that we're able to pick and choose these little, you know, bits and pieces from various different bits of stories, and we're like, no, that's pretty Cinderella. That really... That's the nice thing about fairy tales.
Okay. So does that wrap up Pip's thing nicely?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Considering I didn't have a single idea when I started, I think I'm doing pretty well.
Well, I had a single idea, even though it kind of runs counter to a limit I tried placing on myself beforehand.
Wow.
Well, what was the limit you were trying to place?
Well, I was trying to say, like, avoiding the obvious sports metaphors or stories, because that's overused as hell. It's like, oh, it's a Cinderella story, but I'm totally misusing that phrase.
Well,
oh.
You know what? No. Folk process. If that is what's meaningful to us now, then one must take into consideration how the purpose of the story has changed to reflect our new reality and culture and so on. And then what will all the folklorists say in the future about us?
Yeah.
That stuff was weird.
Those guys were weird. Oh, my God.
Footballrella.
Footballrella. Let's play some
They say that he slept beneath the goalposts. They wouldn't let him into the locker room.
That helmet fit just right. But anyway, I'll just go right into it because why not? I'm stealing it here.
Do it.
So what ended up kind of just falling into my brain was I'm kind of going the quirky story route. Mm-hmm. We're talking, and also just because I own a dog here, we're talking a mutt being entered into the Westminster Dog Show. Right?
Cinder puppy.
Oh my God.
It'll involve puppies. It'll involve snooty judges. maybe kind of like the stepmother analog or whatever that doesn't think a mutt should be in the Westminster show. We have maybe a godmother kind of, a trainer or something like that really helping out. Or who knows? I mean, this is all kind of loose here. But yeah, it's the little dog that could. And
aww. Quick question. How does this intersect with Best in Show?
Best in Show is really, that's kind of where I was thinking about, honestly. And I really love that movie, too. It's similar, but it's much more of a kind of mockumentary setup. Mm-hmm. This is just pure quirky comedy focusing on one particular character rather than the entire cast of characters,
What's their progression?
Oh, the progression. I don't know. I haven't put that much thought into it. It was just, I want a dog.
Neither did I. Go for it.
Okay. Here's the thing. I mean, so first, sir, we can work on this together because I'll drag you all into this. Uh-huh.
That's why we're
so here. The first hurdle is
literally a hurdle.
Getting into the show in the first place, maybe that's where the godmother's gift or boon or whatever really comes in, is they manage to find the exact loophole or something like, oh, a dog from this town is able to be qualified as a specific breed somehow. I mean, because that's the limitation with these kind of dog show kind of things. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it has to be a certain breed. So maybe due to like some archaic rule that the quote unquote godmother finds, this one, you know, really cute, you know, we can find like, you know, the world's cutest mixed breed dog. And it's just from this one particular town. And that's, of course, you know, you'd have like even the, you know, the Air Bud moment of like, oh, there's no rule against it. It's in the rules right here. And then the shenanigans start and it could be fun.
Well, what if it was like a kid's movie? And so and so it was the kid who owned the dog. The dog Aww. Is perpetually messy. Like it gets into mud and stuff like that. And his parents, step-parent, say, no, can't enter the dog into the local dog fair. Look at that filthy dog, blah, 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 blah. And the kid's like, no, he's beautiful. And so he finds a fairy godmother in the form of the local dog cleaner. And
dog groomer. Yeah,
exactly. And gets the dog all gussied up. And to the point where the dog is unrecognizable to everybody because they're all used to this filthy, ill-behaved dog. And then you get all the hijinks of a dog running around and pulling tablecloths off of things and, and dumping cakes everywhere. You know, good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it turns out, you know what? He didn't need to be a pretty dog. He's been a good dog all along. They're all good dogs, Brent.
Oh, yeah. But no, that was just the thought that came to my head was, you know, kind of complete polar opposite of Pips, which is why I thought I'd just mention it now.
No, I like it. And actually, I think that would make a great kids movie. I'm sorry. That has Christmas written all over it.
It really does. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And also, I'm deciding, I wanted to try and play against type tonight. So, you know, just something fun and light Aww. For me.
Oh, I just leaned into my brand. I'm like, no, let's hate all men. Let's go for it.
Aw.
Oh, honey.
Sorry, dudes.
That's Brendan not accepting that. Not accepting that apology.
Yeah, that's fair.
Womp womp. So, yeah, I don't really quite know what else I'd, you know, do aside from quirky dog story.
I like it.
What's the proof of identity for this dog?
Oh, well, you could have the collar.
What?
Because it's a shaggy dog, so you can't really tell up until you lift it up a little bit. Oh, and it's fluffy.
It's been or like some really stupid, but obviously a kid, like Smoochie. How about that?
Oh, Smoochie, I love my cat. The dog.
I was thinking matching the bite mark on the judge's leg.
Oh.
See, that's how that leads to a Marley and Me situation where there's a sad ending with a dog.
No.
Yeah.
No sad endings. This is as saccharine as possible.
Yeah. You're welcome, Hollywood.
I'll expect my royalty check in the mail and admission to the Screenwriters Guild. Thank you.
Ah, yes, we are very knowledgeable about the way Hollywood works.
Hey, I'll take acceptance. Okay. Truth be told, I think I liked Pip's idea a little bit more so far. So
I think yours is adorable. I think
yours
that.
Is super adorable.
Oh yeah, I know, but I'm just saying I like both so far. How about that?
All right, Al, I'm gonna throw this at you.
Okay,
do it.
You keep on throwing me under the bus.
Because otherwise you'll get out of the way of the bus because you have sense.
True. But, okay, I managed to actually think of something just in time.
Nice.
Whoop, whoop. And, you know what? Gonna bring this straight into future cyberpunk Cinderella. Cyberella.
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 That's awesome.
Nice.
God damn.
All right, lay it out, man. Lay it out.
Oh, shit.
You thought of the name and nothing else.
Okay, so
this is under fair use.
Oh my god.
Okay, but seriously, As you know, Bob, the folk process, one of its great things is that it can take stories and then apply them to our now and teach us lessons about our now.
Sure.
And cool. What's happening now? Robot stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So, Cyberella, do you think she's a robot? Or do you think her father married a robot?
Hmm. Oh, wait. Actually, this story may have already existed.
Oh.
There's something called Cinder. It's a cyborg girl, and she literally has a robot foot that goes missing, I believe.
Oh, no.
And there's like a prince type who is trying to help her replace her foot, and because she's part cyborg, it's she's one of the lower class, and yeah, it's a whole deal.
Oh,
so you got to change it a little bit. Do you want me to throw an idea at you, Al?
Sure. Go ahead.
What if she is a program?
Oh yeah. Actually, that was being something similar, or of web diving or whatever, or a cyberpunk term to you, who's for, you know, us using the internet, but with flashy colors and all that.
Oh, so like full immersion or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, so it's not an AI, but you're talking about fuck.
An avatar. Yeah, like online an presence.
Exactly. Yeah, a virtual world. There you go.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft Cinderella.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no. The AI is the fairy godmother.
Wait a second. Matrix.
I mean, that's like the Oracle, kind of, but... We can work with this. We can work with this. I almost think, like, have you guys read, like, you know, a lot of the, you know, books involving, like, you know, VR landscapes, stuff like that? You know, we're talking, like, Ready Player One or Snow Crash or stuff like that.
I know of Ready Player One, and I'm annoyed by it. But that's
fair.
I haven't finished Ready Player One.
I know it exists.
I read a lot of the short stories.
You could almost have, like, you know, that was just a crutch here. It's not like an actual VR game or something like that, but you just have like this kind of full immersion contact with the web in the future, which is not exactly far-fetched, that it's Second Life did that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we can go with that. So we could have this, you know, main character, Cyber as her handle or something. Cyberella.
I don't doubt that there are like 100 people at that handle. Maybe 1,000.
Per game.
Yeah.
But which one's the real one? Oh, invert it! Invert it! There's a ton of Cyberellas! There's piles of them! Which one's the real one, i.e. our main character? What sets her apart from all the other ones? They all think that they're the little Ashen Puddle. They're the little girl in the grate. So, and maybe they all have those characteristics because this is a big shared world and, you know, there's a million billion people in it. I don't actually know how many people there are in the world, but what separates her?
The glass slipper could just be a program that somebody has to crack.
Ooh.
Not named Glass Slipper.
No, that's too obvious.
No. The silver shoe.
Well, you know, you can be obvious if you want. You could just lean straight into it and just be like, fuck it, this is Cinderella in the future. Boom.
But this is Alex's story. So, Al, what would you go with?
Oh, I was thinking along the lines of just, you know, those, you know, flare things you see in signatures from forums.
Oh, yeah. Well, just on Reddit or whatever.
Wait,
yeah.
I don't know this. Can you explain it?
Flare is just like after your username, just like a little extra descriptive tag about yourself.
Oh, okay.
Or taking this back like to the 2000s and signatures on forums.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So what are you thinking in terms of flares?
I don't know. Like a glass slipper.
So who would the antagonist to be in Cyberella, Al?
Corporate America, duh.
It's always corporate America.
Well,
you could be poignant and be like cyber snoopers.
It could be grown-ups who don't understand the cyber world and keep trying to keep her out of it.
Grown-ups the worst.
That, yeah.
You should be playing sports, Cindy.
Or parents that don't respect privacy.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh, good point.
Yeah, and
is she hiding her internet usage or cyber usage?
Yeah, sure.
She is now.
Well then. Well, you know what that means. By the climax, that gets discovered.
Oh, yeah.
Womp womp.
Oh.
She gets grounded so she can't meet the prince.
Yeah. The clock has to strike midnight at some point.
So wait, who's the prince? What's the prince?
Is he also an AI? Dun, dun, dun.
This could be a kind of a cute idea. What if it's just, like, two AIs meeting online that are just, like, you know, web crawlers?
Oh, my God. What if they both think that the other one's real and they're not, and so they have, like, this whole inferiority complex?
Aww.
I worry that that's going to get depressing.
No, because then they discover that they're right for each other.
And that's where the step-parents come in, because it's an AI. It's supposed to be, like, you know, searching for recipes for me, but it's off flirting with some other AI.
Oh, hey, remember the Facebook people who shut... I'm referencing this again. The Facebook people who shut down the Facebook bots?
Yeah.
Who were busy coming up with their own language? Well, what if those were little Cinderella bots?
Aww.
Aww.
See? Depressing.
No, we'll make them win.
Aww.
They'll kill their programmers. Wait a second.
Yeah!
Gets Pip's thing in there.
Well, they kidnap an engineer that we referenced last episode, and boom. We now have a shared cinematic universe.
That's what all the cool kids are doing.
Apparently. I mean, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Hey, who wants to know my idea?
Ooh.
Sure. I guess.
I mean,
we have to.
It's only the concept of the entire podcast. Okay.
Oh, right.
Well, to be fair, we never said that everybody gets to say.
I don't want to listen to you.
Cat, sit this one out.
Okay. No. All right. No. You go.
Okay.
All right. What would you use or change in Cinderella?
Well, here's the thing, guys. I thought a little bit of, because I came in here, as I believe my intro suggested, completely unprepared. And I thought, I'll listen to everybody else. I'll figure out I'll go really left field. I'll do modern or some bullshit. I'll reference the fact that Pretty Woman is a Cinderella story. I'll reference Ever After? That's a Cinderella.
It is.
But as you guys were talking, I suddenly realized, guys, I actually have a book I'm working on that is a Cinderella story.
What the hell?
I could use some fucking help with this. I wanted to write a series of historical... I love historical romances. I love them. And so I thought of this idea for a series of romance novels that is based around a club of girls who all met in a young ladies' finishing school, and they were all different from everybody else, and so they have a little book club. And wouldn't you know, all of these different girls and their future love lives revolve around the fairy tales that they discussed when they were kids.
Well, sure.
And the first one was going to be Cinderella, because you need to have one girl who's made good in order to support all the other ones in the series. And so I got as far as figuring out part of why this girl is in the first girl, the Cinderella girl, is in a finishing school for young ladies is because she has been sent there by her stepmother, and the proper tutors and governesses and such like that are being saved for the other children, whereas this one's been sent off. Of course, you have to have a season in London. Only the sisters get to give it, not you, Cinderella. And then somehow, I don't know, there's a duke. Not actually a duke. I hate it when romance novels have dukes. There's only like 5 fucking dukes in all of England, so not all of them are going to be in romance novels.
The hell they can't.
I believe if there's only 5, I believe, yes, they all can be.
No, some of them are busy becoming like King of England.
In a romance novel, don't limit yourself here.
Look, I'm just saying nobody wants the Prince Regent to be in their romance hero. Okay, so anyway, I sort of stumbled at it was the matter of the disguise. Why would our let's say, Duke for the time being become enchanted with her in one place and then not fucking recognize her somewhere else? Like, 'cause I'm sorry, people don't look that different. I was really stuck with that. I want to lean into the trope. I want to lean into it hard. That's the point of the series. But in doing so, you know, there's only so much you can do.
How old are they?
She's supposed to be entering her season in London-ish, so maybe a little bit later. I would say she's between 19 and 21, somewhere in there. Getting a bit old, long in the tooth, as it were, as they say.
The Christmas cake. That's a reference.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he would be, I'm going to put him as older, not super older, but I'm going to put him
at 25.
No, I'm going to put him into a well-established 30 so that he has tons of money. Cause that's what's going to support everybody else. And, he doesn't have to worry. He's not going to be like overcome by, but where is he? I don't know, man. That's part of the reason I want to make him a duke is cause then he'll just be super fucking rich, but.
Okay. Can you describe more of the setting for me?
Sure.
I think
this is a Milo? I don't know. That you probably are unfamiliar with. So the idea is your average Regency romance novel, is set in, the Regency period of England. That means around and about when, George III's son, Prince Regent, was regent.
Yeah, the Prince of Wales.
Yeah, Prince of Wales. Prinny. George III, as you recall, was the guy in charge when America...
became a thing.
America said, bye!
We are never, ever, ever getting back together.
After the American independence thing.
You know Pride and Prejudice?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
Pride and Prejudice is a Regency romance, basically.
So you mentioned having troubles with determining disguise aspect. So well, I guess we can't really do that necessarily the crutch of like, oh, they met at a costume ball because frankly, they're not children.
Oh, no, no. You can totally do a costume ball. Like that's totally legit. However, why would he fall in love with her there and need to see her again? Maybe she's super fucking clever, but that's the kind of thing that like, I don't know. Maybe I should lean into the Pride and Prejudice angle of it as well. Like,
oh, the different social status?
Yeah, like he sees her later in the country.
it's like, oh my god, she's a country bumpkin. No!
But something about her voice seems so familiar and her crackshot wit. But surely it can't be the same person.
She could just be living the peasant life and, you know, covered in dirt and crap and stuff.
But she has such fine eyes.
Hey, fine eyes.
Her stepmother could be planning her for spinsterhood to be like, and to be a companion for her sisters. So yeah, you don't have to do shit with that.
Well, the reason before I asked how old they were, because what I wondered if maybe they were childhood friends and hadn't seen each other.
Oh, how? Speak more on this topic.
Because you were wondering, well, why wouldn't they recognize each other? I was like, well, if they met when they were, you know, much younger, when you grow up, this thing called puberty happens.
What?
And sure, you look the same, but you also change a lot. And if you haven't seen them in a while and, you know, pictures don't really
happen.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you do that, the ages are going to have to be a lot closer than 20 to 30.
Because then you're kind of like, I'm 15 while she's 5, and I knew, and I loved her then.
Ew. And only Jane Austen can get away with that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, modern audiences won't really buy into that.
Isn't that part of Emma?
It is. Yes. Yeah. I held you in my arms as a babe, and now I'm going to make out with
so
you.
So creepy.
Okay.
But she goes to finishing school, so her mannerisms change as well.
That's true. You know, they could have known each other. That actually just says that we just need to make him a lot richer. Like, just make him so he had, like, 5 titles when he was born.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When she was a kid,
she
was a lot more, like, outgoing, you know, I hate to say it, like, you know, tomboyish.
Mm. A healthy tan.
Yeah, spunky. So, like, after finishing school, you know, no, she's, you know, at this, yeah, at the ball there, and it's like, oh, it's fine dancing and stuff like that. And that would kind of cause you to not really catch on to the, you know, obvious signs that this is, like, your childhood friend, because Cindy never did that when she was a kid.
Oh.
She would rather be lit on fire than be at a fancy ball.
Actually, what if they knew each other before Cinderella's mom presumably died? And so this is before she got beaten down by the vicissitudes of life and stepmothers and sent off to boarding school and all that. So she's very different. But you know what? That calf love still exists between them.
And that spark is still there.
The spark they felt.
Not the spark.
Yeah. They were like best friends or something like that when they were kids. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
That kind of shit. He was an only child.
Yeah.
They were both only children. They were maybe of, what if he wasn't like the first son? Maybe he was like the third son. So nobody, so he was allowed to play with like, you know, the middling prospects in the neighborhood. And then his brothers died and her mom died.
Tragically.
So he got super rich and now he's all like not sure how to deal with upper class society. And then he really wants he wants the girl with the glass slipper. He wants the person who is familiar with who he is on the, you know, not this rich guy, but, and that's why he'd be willing to help all her friends too, who are also weird and poor. Yeah.
And actually, she was probably brought over to specifically be a playmate because she was the only one around in his age group.
Whoa, guys, guys, what if they were neighbors and everyone's like, no, they'll get married later. You know, we've set this up now. But then his brothers died. She got stepsisters. Tragedy. What if the stepmom is trying to set up the stepsisters with him?
That's what they were doing in the original, in Cinderella. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's actually leaning into it.
Yeah.
Well, leaning now because he's super rich.
Well, I worry about recognition because of family names.
New family name.
Well, he would have a new family name. But would she?
It could be a stepfather. Wicked stepfather.
Oh. Yeah, hey.
It's a different name entirely.
Yeah, and actually, that would work because then there'd be that whole, like, totally should get married, gonna meld the family farms or some stuff. Or maybe he's looking for his own title. Like, maybe he's just a merchant and the mother married him because they needed more money in the family. And so she still has a title, but he, you know, feels inferior, so he wants to buy himself one.
Could Cinderella's original family there maybe have gotten their, like, maybe higher social status because her father was, like, a admiral or something. Not admiral, but, you know, a captain of a ship.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, not actually rich, but did have status, but then died due to fighting pirates or something.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's, Wellington got his dukedom. He was a new title because he was Wellington. And then in Jane Austen's Persuasion, what's his head, the male hero, the dope, was super fucking poor and then went off and captured a whole bunch of ships during the war. And now he's wealthy. And so, you know what? Good enough. I like that. You get the dad has an inferiority complex and, you know, oh, yeah.
Kind of steering into, you know, almost playing all the trip kind of straight, but obfuscated a little bit.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, that's
that'd be fun.
The point of a romance novel is to reach the HEA, the happily ever after. A variant of that is the happily ever after for now. Yeah, the HEA, that's the gold ticket when it comes to romance novels. And that's literally from fairy tales.
They can go riding off in a carriage together. Aww. It'll be sweet.
And then we get to see them again later in the future books as they bring out, you know, as we get the Beauty and the Beast, as we get, oh yeah. And so, yeah, like, I want to lean into that. A lot of things that I thought would be really, really
cool. Could be fun.
But it all needed to start with the Cinderella story.
No.
That's a common trope in romance novels. I married a duke. Ooh.
So I married a duke.
Guaranteed that's actually a title.
No. Okay. Stop me if I get this wrong.
You're wrong.
So Pippin.
I'm sorry. You go.
So Pippin had Cinderella with swords and Greek goddesses and probably stepfamily decapitation at the end.
That sounds like it.
And lots of maybe some political intrigue happening there. I went full saccharine. Mutt enters the Westminster Dog Show and somehow wins at the end.
You went full moneymaker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alex went with Cyberella, you know, perhaps two AIs, I believe, finding love out there in the digital world and the human society that's taking them down or trying to bring them down.
I'd make a Her reference, except I never actually watched Her.
That's more of AI meets human and human.
I'm saying that Scarlett Johansson's voice should meet another,
Scarlett Johansson's voice.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I'd watch that.
Oh, God.
And then Kat, kind of has the fairy tale almost played straight with Cinderella and maybe the Duke or something like that. Or was it a Duke?
I was calling it Duke Shorthand because dukes are generally pretty rich.
And Duke Shorthands.
But, that's his name.
But kind of going with the Regency romance novel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. And the thing is, I think that could also, you know, be pretty, you know, pretty cool to read. You know, I don't really go for romances myself, but I don't know if I'm necessarily the demographic for that.
Oh, I'm all there.
Here's the thing. If you haven't tried it, you'd be very surprised. A lot of them are hilarious. A lot of them are really spicy.
As you recall, our English teacher back in high school had us read a lot of these romances for school. Oh,
yeah. So, true story. Bless her soul, she passed. But
yeah, that's sad.
She found out that I really liked romance novels as well. And so she would, I'm not even sure this is appropriate. She would pass on to me, she's like, do you want my, you know, the leftovers? Cause these were Harlequins. So as spicy as it got was they kissed and married.
And then they held hands.
And I'm like, sure, I would love to have, your leftovers. I'll take free books. Sure. She came in with a literal garbage bag full.
Wow.
Filled with Harlequin romances. And she's like, here you go. And I like hauled that thing home and put through it. And then she gave me another one.
Is that where that came from?
Yes. It was hers.
Huh.
And then like the next month, cause she was on like on these mailing lists, I guess. And so the next month she gave me another bag full.
Wow.
Yeah. That's some fairy godmother shit right there.
I think she was just using you to get rid of her old Harlequins.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yes, but. I mean, come on. I'm not going to look that gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
But look, your fairy godmother English teacher gave you the books you needed to succeed.
Oh. Harlequins.
I mean.
I was trying to tie it to theme, guys.
If I could get a career of just like pumping out Harlequins, I would do that in a heartbeat. No shame there.
Again, contact us at contact@nostorysacred.com.
Pip, which one was it that was her annotated copy that you got to read in high school?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, to be fair, I don't think it was, like, her full copy. All I know is that there were marginal notes in the copy of My Jane Eyre that I read for Cats.
Oh.
And the only thing I remember was when Jane and Mr. Rochester kiss in front of the tree in the storm to the tree that gets struck by lightning.
Which isn't subtle. God punishing them at all.
No, of course not. What? In the margins, it said, finally.
God damn all that bigamy getting in the way.
No. I have opinions about Jane Eyre that's neither here nor there.
Until a later podcast.
Stay tuned.
All right. So I hear there might be a game afoot.
Well, yes, and this time with the game, I'm going to try and play it straight here. I numbered a number of our kind of secondary games here, and I'm just going to roll this die I have on my phone and see where it takes me, and then you guys can gong it if you want.
Do the sound effect.
Do, 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 do. Boop, 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 boop. How about the character that would be king?
Yes. Pip, can you define that for us, since I threw Alex under the bus earlier?
You know, there are so many buses going by, I do not think we should play by the road anymore.
Look, it's South Station. What did you expect?
So, in our game, the character that would be king, our idea is that we take a secondary character in the story and make them the primary character. You know, it's now their story. They're the hero now.
Womp womp.
So, Cinderella, we have to choose from...
We got a pile of characters.
Yeah. I mean, but depending on what telling, there's a whole slew of them. I mean, heck,
mm-hmm.
I think one of the spin-off movies that the mouse did was literally about the mice.
Oh. Well, here.
Let's not do that.
Here, let me again bring up my series. You'll never guess what the last book in the series was supposed to be.
Dun, dun, dun.
It was originally when I thought it was going to be A Wicked Stepmother, I wanted to have the book. I wanted to reconcile her. And so I wanted to do Bluebeard with her. She gets the one horror story.
What?
Yes, but I was going to take the evil stepmother, although she might be an evil stepfather now. But at the time, she was going to be the evil stepmother, and I was going to sort of redeem her and bring her back to the heroine fold by sticking her into Bluebeard.
Huh. What is the story of Bluebeard for the uninitiated.
It's my favorite fairy tale.
Keep it brief. I know how long it can go on Bluebeard.
Fuck off. Bluebeard is essentially a girl gets married to a fellow with a blue beard. You'll never guess. Is a blue beard a sign of something? It is. He says, don't go. You know, here's my house. Isn't it beautiful? Don't go in this one room. Naturally, she goes into the one room, and what's it filled with? All his dead wives! I like the cheer. She tries to lie, it doesn't work, and then her brothers show up and kill him.
Right.
Oh.
The end.
That is the evil stepmother gonna be one of the dead wives in the room?
I guess I was gonna pull the whole stepmother thing from Ever After, where it was just her being a parent now, and then she was going to go remarry, and whoops, she remarries Bluebeard.
Oops.
And she learns the error of her ways and how you have to, you know, you can depend on family and stuff like that, and, you know, maybe why it's a bad idea to be a shitty person, et cetera, and so forth. You know, Cinderella from the first book is able to give her assistance after suitable reparations have been made and apologies and loving embraces and so forth.
Aww.
I would like the Bluebeard character to also be a villain, sort of a behind-the-scenes villain throughout the books. I want a narrative arc, man. But yeah.
He'd be killing people behind the scenes.
Oh my god. Dark. He's a French spy. Oh, damn yeah. French. Damn French. Anyway, what...
Okay.
So that's what I was going to do. My secondary character would be the mother.
Chronologically, when would this take place in the Cinderella mythos?
About 5 years after the first book. I need enough time to marry off everybody else.
Mm. Okay. Cool. Right. Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, I actually came up with an idea. the secondary character that would be king is that fairy godmother.
Ooh.
Nice.
Okay, elaborate.
She's got a quota to make up. Listen, she needs to get as many happily ever after as before
the strike of midnight?
Or before the end of year, or she's going to have to hang up her wand.
Ah. Also, I'm just imagining like a chain-smoking fairy godmother's like, look, kid, just go to the ball.
I ain't going to sing.
What if she had, we see all these other fairy tales that have fairy godmothers going on in the background, and Cinderella is the one who's not doing her bit. Like, she's just not participating in the whole happily ever after.
Yeah.
She's off fighting people with swords or something.
Yeah.
Why do you want me to get into this carriage pulled by rats? That makes no sense. Come on,
they're
lady.
They're horses now. See?
I know they're rats.
And I think pretty certain that they think they're still rats too. They're trying to chew for with the ropes.
Ew. That can sound kind of funny. So it sounds like you're kind of having like a comedy aspect going on here.
Oh, yeah. You
know, man. I like that.
I like that too.
That prince is cute and all, but not really my type. I mean, I was looking at him all night, and I'm pretty certain he never actually he even looked at my face.
He kept looking at the groom. It was weird. What do you think that's about? But you know what? That's fine, because there was a sweet maid, and she was just really nice, and we talked all night long, and I just felt a connection.
Do you think the final quota that the fairy godmother gets is her own?
That'd be adorable.
A goddamn vacation.
That's a happily ever after. Nice inversion. Nicely done.
I want a vacation. Jeez.
Joke at some point. And of someone going, what are you, hourly?
That took me a second there. A second longer than it should to get the joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Explain the joke in case the audience doesn't get it.
Oh, because the time limit on midnight, I mean, the godmother's got to get to bed. Come on.
She's not paid overtime.
Can't go past midnight, you know, regs.
Or just the fact that, as imagine, the employers of a fairy godmother are super stingy, ironically enough.
Yeah.
So no overtime pay. So why stay up late?
But there's no overtime, but she also can't use the magic for her own happily ever after. So she spends the whole story knowing that she'll never get the happily ever after. But wait, she does. Somehow. Oh. Just not through magic.
That's where Cinderella comes in. She, you know, has been kind of resistant to what the godmother's been doing this entire time. And then Cinderella manages to pull the miracle there.
Guys, what if the fairy godmother and Cinderella get together?
Aww.
It can be a young fairy godmother. She keeps trying to get Cinderella's happily ever after. And then finally Cinderella's like, you're my happily ever after. And then they make out.
Hot.
And then it's so sweet. And then, yeah.
I'm just imagining the godmother being played by Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, my God. Wait, what if it was Aubrey Plaza and who's that girl from Garfunkel & Oates? Kate something?
Kate Micucci.
Yes. Can you imagine that if she was Cinderella?
Man, I'd watch it.
I'd watch it, too. Pip, write it.
What?
Sorry. I don't make the rules.
I've got my sword-wielding Cinderella over here.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's Al who has to write it.
Oh, that's a good point. Hey, Alex.
Oh, crap. Now I'm going to have to write a song for her, for the Kikuchi thing.
Well, you can have her write that song. I mean, she is the songwriter.
Show me what you can do with that wand right there.
What? Oh, my God.
I think we just made somebody choke and die. I'm not sure which one of us.
Okay. I'm fine.
I'm not dead yet.
And you've heard some of her songs, so you know she'd probably sing it.
That's amazing. Okay.
Damn.
Actually, I'm really excited about that one. Forget my fucking book. Al.
You got this, man.
You got it. We're all counting on you. All
right. Next up?
Okay. Who's next?
Pip.
Well, here's the thing. I was gonna say the stepmother.
Lol.
Somebody.
Well, you can use the same one.
Do it.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I also hadn't thought it out that far because I was like, what characters are there? Well, there's the stepmother.
Well, we're.
But here's the thing. Okay, let's think about the stepsisters for a second.
Okay, go. Stepsisters. Go.
They don't really get a good time of this story either.
No, not really.
Like, leaving aside how in some versions their feet get mutilated and they get blinded by birds.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, leaving aside that.
Leaving aside that. They are not exactly taught decent life skills by their mother. You know, they're taught, vanity, jealousy, and greed.
Mm-hmm.
Generally bad traits. People don't want to hang out with you if you're like that.
True.
Drink
Sema.
So I want a story where they get redeemed. Maybe they are shitty people, like in high school to their stepsister. And they can get away with it because, you know, high school is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because children are terrible. And by children, I mean teenagers.
Yes.
And then they go off to college, maybe to the same one because they are strangely codependent. And then they take their first women in gender studies course. and they learn how they don't need men, which is my constant theme.
Oh my God.
And they learn how to be less shitty people. You know, they go to therapy. They get new friends outside of each other, you know, whilst they're learning more about their own relationship, about how, you know, things they actually like about each other, things they don't like, because it's okay to not like some of your siblings' traits. Sorry, you guys.
Fuck you.
Hey,
whatever.
Hey,
feelings mutual.
I am perfect.
You are perfect. I will give you that one. But
what's
their
conflict, though?
Their roommates don't like them, and they think it's not them, but it totally is.
So classic narcissist problems.
Yeah, and they're not their grades aren't doing great because they've never learned.
Tried.
Yeah.
Or what if they're going to lose their scholarship?
So Judd Apatow becoming a functioning human in a movie.
Yeah, sure. And you know, they keep getting letters from their stepsister who's doing really well, and they don't understand why they're not also doing really well.
Hmm.
Especially because they probably shit on her their entire life.
Yeah.
At least in high school.
Like,
yeah.
They're aware of the social pecking order, and they're supposed to be on top, and they're not.
They have to have a moment of realization.
Mm.
What do you picture? Like the lowest of the low shitty moment.
Their professor says they're going to bring them, one of them, I don't know, to the honor board if they don't rewrite their paper.
What if, you know, here's a idea here. Mm. You have two stepsisters, right?
Yep.
You could have a play in contrast where one of them, you know, kind of starts realizing and the conditions start improving. And then you have like maybe like a more local jealousy aspect going on. So you have build up to the climax for that.
Oh.
So like one kind of comes to the epiphany, but it's not like the focus character. Mm. I don't know.
No, I get you.
I know. It has a little bit of the, what was that Channing Tatum movie?
21 Jump Street?
Thank you. Wow.
Ha.
Listen, I was going through Channing Tatum movies, and I stopped first at Magic Mike, and I decided to stay there for a little bit.
Fair enough. So, Bren, did we get yours?
The side character, I was thinking about it, and you know who has a lot to answer for in this story?
Hmm.
The prince.
Yes.
What the hell is his deal?
The fuck's and with
him? What's it? What about you and feet, man?
Hey, you know, him and Tarantino, it's a fixation. But yeah, I'm thinking this is almost like a side story going on here, maybe a little bit of a prequel. You know, there's, you know, stuff going on in the kingdom, the prince is of marrying age, and it's very important that he gets married and all that, but there's also, you know, we've established through the fairy godmother and all that, that there is magic at play here. I'm thinking the big problem that the prince is having to solve in the side story here is more or less like, you ever seen the movie Memento?
Yep,
I've heard of it.
Just imagine if you had a magical affliction that was kind of like the condition the character suffered in that, and that's kind of what the prince is having to deal with right now and trying to find a way to maybe break that that curse.
So, Pip, I know you just said kind of. Memento, the main character has...
I know the plot of Memento.
Yeah, he has amnesia.
Can't make long-term memories or something like
that. Yeah, well, like real amnesia, there's a starting point. So you can remember stuff prior to that.
Maybe he keeps meeting Cinderella, but he can never remember her.
That's very dangerously close to a Adam Sandler movie.
Okay, in which case we can do it better then.
There you go.
There we go.
Take no story that. Sacred.
Aha! The thought that comes to mind is just explaining just how in the heck this prince character actually functions in this story. Because, I mean, it's not like Cinderella was actually well disguised there. I mean, come on.
That's the thing.
I'm thinking he's just dealing with this issue, and I think it could be ripe for some interesting stories to tell for his side story happening while all this stuff is going on with Cinderella and magical rat coaches and stuff like that.
Actually, to make it much simpler, what about just face blindness?
Oh.
What's the technical term for that?
Prosopagnosia.
Prosopagnosia?
Yeah.
Ah. There's some... Yeah, that's a trope that's not really played all that often.
I'm not sure how many people recognize it as an actual legitimate thing.
That is the trick. I mean, I was only really introduced to it via, like, a video game several years ago.
Yeah.
I actually have a... there was a fantastic Reef lecture by a fellow named Ramachandran, who spoke about many of these sort of odd brain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that was one of the ones he talked about. Actually, there were a ton of incredibly interesting ones that I'd like to see used more often in fiction.
I mean, maybe he just can't form long-term memory about kind of people. Maybe mm-hmm. that could be his thing, his affliction. And it's magically related, and maybe it's kind of like almost like a Beauty and the Beast affliction where he has to find true love. And ain't that a bitch to be able to try and find true love if you can't remember a single person?
Yeah, I like the idea of it being magically induced, because most of those weird brain things actually come about from trauma. Like, your brain got hit something good, and now everybody around you is actually an imposter.
Oh, yeah.
Whoops.
Ooh.
Magic induced, sure, but I resist like a curse to be broken because you know people with disabilities aren't cursed; they're just people you know living with these things, and you know, the goal isn't to try to fix them. It's just you know their lives.
The world should be a better place, and so it's not shitty to be them.
She says, "Bringing the mood down."
So yeah, Man, we've talked about a lot of Cinderella options tonight, haven't we, guys?
Yeah.
A couple.
Man.
Only one or two.
What? Or eight.
I mean, if you want to be technical.
From the Greek gods to the near future.
There you go.
And a bit with a dog.
Look, dog ownership changes you, man. It's a thing.
So, Pinky, what are we going to do? Wait, is it Brain? So, Brain, what are we going to do tonight or next time on the podcast?
Wow. Well, no. Oh, God, it's another user request. No. I think the hint is it involves vampires, you guys, because it's going to be the Halloween episode.
Ooh, spooky. I think I know what it is. Bram Stoker's Dracula. Got in one.
Is it Carmilla?
Frankenweenie.
I wish. In fact, I believe it has a better love story than this because it's going to be Twilight. It's the obligatory Twilight episode. Just in time for Halloween. Yay.
There you go. Oh, guys.
Teen romances are horrific, yeah. That's not fair. I love teen romances. I'm sorry, teen romances.
Well, just so everyone knows, I'm Team Bella.
Yeah. Oh?
Yeah. Oh.
Yes. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Team Anna Kendrick.
Fair enough.
She was the best part of that. Yeah.
As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoryissacred or send an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan MacDonald. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcripts are available at nostoryissacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time when we'll talk about Twilight. Until then, we're No Story is Sacred, and any story can be changed. I'm Pippin.
I'm Kat.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm Alex.
And we're
No Story is Sacred.